There's no place to escape to.
This is the last
podcast.
On the left.
Live from your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
What was that?
Man, New York, baby.
New York City. Woo! Nothing bad happens here.
Can't kill New York, you stupid weather. That's God right. Tried to kill New York, and then we beat God.
Sort of. You could really argue he won this one.
Well, Ridgewood did really well. Where I'm from was not touched by the storm, and we're doing really well just being drunk, eating food.
So yeah. Did Williamsburg, so apparently God doesn't hate gays. That's very nice. So now we are recording.
Yes.
And that is Marcus, and then yes. I am Ben, and then we got that guy over there that I'm looking at right now with a mustache and a cute face.
Big old New York Henry Zebrowski.
Big old New York Henry Zebrowski.
Ba ba da ba ba da da.
Start spreading the news. Obama created Hurricane Sandy.
This is big.
This is what happened, ladies and gentlemen. Marcus, you're not sold yet on this subject.
I am not.
It all comes down.
Because you have no vision. You are narrow of mind.
You don't know exactly how to search proper things on YouTube.
God damn it. It's ever since you converted him to this David Icke bullshit.
Reptilians did not cause this hurricane, however, so David Icke is wrong about that. It was Obama who was not technically a reptilian.
The big thing, I mean, unless he is a reptilian shadow puppet. Like,
he's
that's
a puppet, but he's
that's
not.
That's a whole other thing.
We'll talk
There's
about
a lot
it.
Of people. David Icke has two running theories about Barack Obama. He thinks that maybe that he's a full-on reptilian.
Right.
But he could also possibly just be a shadow puppet of the reptilian agenda.
I'm going to go with shadow puppet, but that's fine. We're not here to talk about
that
right
now. Well,
it's
just because you don't look at his head formation, though. This is what I read
right.
this online. You talk about
right,
he's
right.
got a very elongated shaped head, like right. a gray.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And Justin
and that
Tuck
may
as well.
Be a racist thing that some people said on the internet, comparing his black head
sure.
to an alien's head.
Sure.
But at the same time, if you look really closely for a very long time at a picture of Barack Obama, you can slowly but surely imagine the alien that lies underneath his skin.
That's right. Uh-huh. That's telling him what to do. I can definitely see it scaly.
So today's episode, let's just start up. We haven't even introed.
Yeah.
So Hurricane Sandy, huh?
Yeah.
That's a news item.
That's your intro? Yeah.
You do the intro.
Okay. So today, basically, we're going to be discussing weather patterns and weather activity that have gone on throughout history.
Superstorms.
Superstorms that have had impact on political situations, on just on other life situations.
And this is not necessarily paranormal, but it's,
not
but
per
it's
se.
Important to understand that the more we research, it's an ever-widening net. Of things that all connect back to what could be called the great work of the ages, which is the Freemasons' grand agenda for the human race.
Interesting.
And it could start from there
right.
and lead all the way to here in the year 2012, Hurricane Sandy, right? Hurricane Sandy, devastating superstorm, Frankenstorm,
Frankenstorm.
It has been called.
Yeah.
A combination of many different fronts. Yes.
That's right. That's
but
right.
the thing is that I shaked my lighter at it. And it's supposed to be Frankenstein was afraid of fire.
That's
if
right.
you look at the lore of Frankenstein,
you,
which is also real.
That's right. That's right. And indeed, I think it's Frankenstorm because Obama and the Obama administration is Frankenstein, and they created the storm. They created the monster.
Yes.
And it all goes back to this little thing we have called HARP, H-H-R-P.
H-A-A-R-P.
Yeah.
What is the
it's
thing?
It's High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program.
Now, I think we brought this up once before, or we tried to do a podcast on it and it was just too complicated.
I think
maybe
that might have been it, yeah.
So I really got into this like recently because I started looking up like paranormal storms because originally
sure.
I was like, we'll do a whole episode about pirate ghosts.
It's
and
raining
that's,
skulls
that's
and bizarre
really
eye patches.
It's just not real. That doesn't
happen.
Is that
a wooden leg that just fell from the sky?
Pirates were just canker sore ridden thieves.
I think
on
you
boats.
Fell asleep while playing the end of Super Mario Brothers 3 or 2, whichever one.
That's what I did.
Two. Okay.
I started researching about HARP. Now, HARP is a it is a research facility in Alaska.
It's in Alaska.
Now, what I love about this, it's so deep, and it's just because it's very secret, because the
well,
government
it's not
can't
that
let
secret.
You know.
They give you yearly tours, and they show
you
everything.
They have open weekend. It's right. It's like a fucking
They do have open weekend.
Because I remember, yeah, because Jesse Ventura showed up at the offices of HARP and was like, let me in. And they're right. like, no, not today. There's visiting days next week, which they do have. Yeah, right. Anybody can just walk in there. But what this
I do that at the deli as soon as it gets closed. Let me in. Let me in. We're closed. And I'm like, what are you doing with the meat? What you doing with the meat in there, deli?
But the so this research facility basically monitors the actions that happen in the ionosphere, which
right.
is like the electronic halo that exists around the Earth.
Which technically doesn't have any effect on the weather. It's too high for that.
But yeah. no, but you could see... But
that's where they drop the chem bombs, the chemical bombs.
No, they do other things too. Okay. Where it's like what HARP is a series of antennas that work the opposite of radio antennas, right? They send high frequency energy rays into the ionosphere and agitate it, right?
Okay.
They choose specific like imagine the Earth is in a fucking soup dumpling made out of electrons.
Second episode in a row that we have a soup dumpling reference, which I think doubles up any podcast in the history of podcasts.
Not just a reference, but an analogy.
Wow. But this is appropriate. Imagine Earth is the succulent ball of pork meat inside of a soup
Ooh,
dumpling.
I can get down with this.
And that the juice in the soup dumpling, the soup, as it were.
What did you call
is
it?
The juice.
The juice, okay.
That surrounds the meat in there, which is the Earth, is the actual atmosphere. But the thin line of delicious pasta dough that surrounds the outside of that, that's the ionosphere, right?
There are some dry pussies listening to this right now. That is the talcum powder of pussy.
Not
right
unless
there.
They want to be
Henry
with me.
Saying juice.
If there are people that are very, if you are attracted to that, just send an email. Because when it comes down to it, we will be together for the rest of our lives.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Whatever sex you are.
Sure. That's right. That, yeah.
No, okay. No, I'm not going to do
this.
Okay,
so the Earth is the center of the dumpling. We got juices around.
Which is just the regular atmosphere. And the ionosphere is what keeps us safe from all of the energies coming in from space. It's this it's this giant circle of electrons.
The radiation and such.
Yes. Yeah. And what they do normally, using AM radio and various other things, is that you bounce a signal off the ionosphere and it goes to another location.
And this is how they spread right-wing propaganda.
This is how we get Cheers reruns. It all goes up from the ionosphere and back.
Well, that's how AM radio works versus FM. FM is a direct type of signal,
yes.
Whereas AM at night, you can sometimes get radio signals from hundreds of thousands of miles away.
Which is
really?
Why Coast to Coast has a gigantic audience.
So, real quick, how did AM end up losing this FM AM war?
Sound quality.
Sound
oh,
quality.
Okay, sound
yeah. But
which
so
I guess you don't need
does,
if you're on fucking Rush Limbaugh or Coast to Coast.
No, no, because
they don't need good sound quality on Coast to Coast.
Oh, no. It's a step up from ham radio.
They don't pay attention to the levels.
Right.
Because I can just imagine the basketball size, like mic guard that Alex fucking,
oh my God.
What's his name, needs.
Well, I don't have any money for lunch. I guess I'll just take this big turkey leg for my microphone.
George Norrie just like talking with the microphone in his mouth. but
so we're
so
on the outside of the dumpling.
What the HARP does is it shoots a very high-powered frequency into the ionosphere and agitates it. Because the idea is the research center is supposed to be there to help improve communications during solar flares.
Okay.
And so what they do is they artificially create solar flares in the ionosphere and basically trying to figure out, like, how can we make communication clearer? But what they're also finding is like, if there's many different things that could be linked into it. They have something about like 200 different patents all listed under the covert operation that is HARP. It's super because what they're trying to do is they're trying to improve submarine communication because submarine communication uses this special frequency because they can't use electricity because they're underground.
Right, so they use sonar right now.
They use sonar but they bounce it off the ionosphere.
Right.
And they're trying to figure out a clearer way to do that. But what they're also discovering
is... Or the bread of the dumpling.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This is good. I wish I had you as my science teacher, by the way, because he's speaking my language. If you could relate everything science related to a food.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
I can't
science
wait
is for fat kids.
Yeah, exactly.
That's for the fat kids. You can't throw a ball, but you can get ladies by being
That's
a millionaire.
Right.
You've invented a new dildo plastic.
Ooh, it's pizza and helium Tuesdays. I think I'll be there.
Boy, the man that figured out silicone was better than rubber.
Absolutely.
Apparently, I'm more of a dildo scientist than you guys are. Jesus fucking Christ. By the way, we're brought to you now by adamandeve.com.
Are we?
Really?
Yeah.
We got sponsorship?
Yeah.
Did you wait to tell us until now on purpose?
Yeah.
You fucking dickhead! Yeah! We getting paid for this. Fuck you. Shut it down.
Then this is the best part. Is that that's why I mean, I have a butt plug up inside me right now. That's what helps me do the podcast. That's what helps me be funny.
And that's one of my favorite Adam and Eve butt plugs.
I'm constantly on the verge of prostate orgasm.
But if you go to adamandeve.com and you input the code CCR at checkout, we get a little cut of your dildo money.
Hell yeah.
This is great. Yeah, great news. Wow. All right, well, let's go back.
So buy some dildos and jam them up inside of yourself.
Don't die, though. We get blamed for that, too.
So this is really complicated. It's really hard to explain. But what they've discovered is that when you shoot that frequency up into the ionosphere, is that you can bend it. Or what they're afraid of is if you do too much is that you'll break it. And because the Earth turns and it's a single
beam. Are we still talking about butt dildos here?
But basically saying that, like, if you bend it in specific situations where there's already, like, a lot of, like, this is where weather manipulation
a lot of energy
is a part of it. Like, already up going on, is that you can move air drifts into each other, like, strategically and create an artificial hurricane. And that's part of where this idea came from. And on InfoWars, they're very upset with Barack Obama because they're pretty certain that this very coincidental appearance of Hurricane Sandy week before election will push it his way because it's going to be harder for older people to leave their houses to go vote,
which is
Romney's like bread and butter because he's a piece of shit of the past.
With Romney wanting to cut FEMA, funding for FEMA and stuff like that really got highlighted.
What an idiot.
And he's an absolute putz. Barack Obama definitely used this for his benefit. And as we were talking about on yesterday's
Top Hat. But this is going to come out after the election anyway, so we'll see what the
we'll see if we're accurate.
This is going to go on for weeks and weeks.
Yes.
But with Libya, I was like, it wasn't with the ambassador being killed, not a conspiracy. Obama didn't benefit. Hurricane Sandy, you can't argue that he did not benefit. Yeah. So it fits right in there with the conspiracy theory. And this weather pattern just came out 2 weeks ago. Or no, 2 weeks ago, everyone's like, it's going to be a great weekend. The New York City City Marathon was still on.
Oh, yeah.
They were all ready to go. All of a sudden,
fuck the marathon.
Out of the clear blue sky, literally, comes Hurricane Sandy, which is it a coincidence? Or did Obama? Yes, yes. No, that's the right answer. But let's go see what Hong Kong has to say about
But then they lump a lot of stuff into that, too. Also, HAARP is there. There's a lot of people who believe, so the human brain creates waves that go from 4 megahertz to 100 megahertz, like in our heads, right? Mm-hmm. Those are what our thoughts are.
And
they
of course,
operate
that's
at
why,
that level.
That's why it hurts when you think so much. Adam and Eve.
Can we have a moment of silence for how bad that was?
No, it wasn't that bad with the megahertz. Okay, but I did not think it was that bad, so I'll give you your moment.
But they do believe that a part of what HAARP is capable of, they create these like ultra low frequency waves, and there's a great website called IlluminatiWatch.com, which we got to put up on the Facebook page, which is really cool. The way they break down this like one thing, where there's all these studies that show that guys who work in electrical cables that like run from these like ultra low frequency, like basically working electric cables coming off these electric cables, this ultra low frequency sort of energy waves that make these people super depressed. And they say there's a spiking suicide rate in these people who work on super high powered electrical lines.
Really?
Right? And that what they believe a part of what HAARP can do, which they've talked openly, including weather manipulation, which is a very, like, they've talked about since 1967, knowing that they can manipulate the weather. Dubai actively does it. Dubai made jungles within the desert using HAARP-like antennas in order to steal moisture from one area.
Let's continue on because I think it's interesting.
Once Dubai comes into it,
there's a lot of stuff in there.
No, it's interesting though. So they can control the weather enough to change actual like life on Earth, or is it just more? Because I always
and
thought
they
used it for more like defensive reasons. Because I know
it's for both.
They've been studying if you see a hurricane beginning, you could literally drop a bomb into it or a whole bunch of different things and try to disperse the weather pattern, which seems to be like a rational thing that we should be able to do.
Shit ton of nukes.
We did it
I don't
in
know
Vietnam.
If you nuke the hurricane. You don't just nuke everything, Texas, Marcus.
But they
Texas.
We got to do something with them.
They actively did it in Vietnam, during Vietnam. That was a big thing. That's why they talk about, like, why we did not consider Vietnam, like, a loss, and why we never considered it a war, because they were like, hey, we can have a whole bunch of exercises done. Wow, I just hit my... I just burped and hit this thing all at once inside of myself. I am not a reputable source of information. First of all, I just want to put that out there.
No, I think you have to burp a couple of times when you're talking about HAARP and weather conspiracy theories, without a doubt. Otherwise, you are not...
But we did. We created rainstorms over Vietnam,
right,
as a part of a weather manipulation, like, weapons program. And what they're saying now...
So we just gave them, like, great crops for the summer.
No, we used it. We created a thunderstorm that destroyed this whole supply area. That we did. Okay. We destroyed a bunch of farms. Like, we apparently generated a flood that created, like, a total chaos in their farming system. And we did that as an experiment.
Right.
But what they're also saying HAARP is capable of is that... using special low frequencies that match human, like our human brains. They said that HAARP can make something like super low frequencies is like an offshoot of like the super high power beam they shoot up.
Okay.
It creates like low frequency all over the place. And what they're discovering is that they can like target it and suppress a people into like being depressed, into being inactive and being unable to fight. And they're starting to say that they're going to use it on America, that they use it on us in order to manipulate our brains.
And so this is like all electronical. There's no actual tangible thing, right? Because I know there was that one bomb that we were using in the military that we were going to use in the Middle East that made everybody really homosexual. It made them like really, really...
Yeah, the gay bomb.
The gay bomb.
Yeah. And it's great. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's a wonderful game. I mean, it hits Soho every single
weekend. Yeah.
I mean, I know it. Maybe it's already here.
I just take a gay bomb, I put it in a pillow, I sit on it for an hour, it pops open, and then I go to Metro and I have a great time. I got my roller skate wheels are just worn down.
Metropolitan Bar, a great gay bar here in Williamsburg.
Not even wheels anymore, just squares.
Just squares.
Dunk, 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 dunk.
It doesn't matter, I don't need them anymore because I'm always sitting on a penis.
Sitting on a penis. Of course, you can get that gay bomb and the penis that Henry is currently sitting on.
God,
on
AdamandEve.com.
And put the code CCR.
There we go. This is really interesting stuff. So they're going to be able to make everybody very sad, but I guess you could use it for more of a positive thing if you want to. Like, if you're in Alaska, I would assume people are relatively depressed there. The cold season, it's dark for 30 days and 30 nights.
Yeah.
It would be nice if you had a population that could be a little bit more enthused, so they could use it for positive reasons as
no,
well, right?
No, it can only depress us.
It can never make you happy.
No, because that's what they're saying, is that these ultra-low frequencies like get hooked up in your brain and basically slow you down.
And so, but I mean, there must be a way to reverse it then. I mean, I guess why would the... I guess
sweet cocaine.
Well, yeah.
That's rock and roll music.
We've been trying to do it in Mexico for years.
Katy Perry's breasts.
Oh, she'll make anybody happy.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, affects that. The low
Although,
frequency.
I don't know if Katy Perry would be very good in the old bedroom. But we can talk about that
later. That's more of a Page Seven.
That's more
story.
Of a Page, yes. And then we don't tread on other people's territory.
Yeah, we try not to.
Which is
we don't do that. We stay in one area.
And so, is there any evidence that they've used this sort of technology yet to suppress a people, or is this still just
absolutely
in
not? No, no, of course, no evidence. What evidence? This is the government we're talking about.
Hey, man.
It's covered up, man.
You think this is a cover-up?
These are 9-to-5 office workers every day who spend the whole day getting good benefits, covering up the crazy shit that we do in the Middle East.
Well, man, I mean, it really makes a lot of sense.
No, you know? It really does.
Yeah. I mean, do we do it to Seattle? It rains all the time there. Everyone's very depressed there.
But we got grunge music, and that was a big thing for the government. They were so excited because what people didn't know is that George Bush Sr. was very angsty.
He was angsty.
And the whole time he sat in office, he's like, how do we depress the people so that I can just get some good old-fashioned music that matches my fucking mood?
Yeah.
It's true.
Too many people feeling the noise.
Yeah, feeling
too
the
funk.
Too
many people going to Paradise City.
I mean, the 80s.
Well, too many people eating cherry pie.
I want a song called Rape Me.
That's right. That's right. It makes a lot of sense. In the 80s, everyone was voting crazy, doing cocaine, having a great time, trying to vote multiple times. Early 90s, suppress the vote. No one who's depressed wants to go vote for somebody they already hate.
Yeah.
It's a very good strategy. It didn't really work for them, so maybe that's why it hasn't been done yet. Again.
Yes. Yes.
Interesting.
But
though,
there's a lot to it. But I mean, the big thing is that it's just very covert, and there's a lot of conspiracy theories you can shove in there because no one knows what the fuck it does.
Right.
Like, I just said a bunch of words that mean nothing to me.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know
how you remembered all of that.
Because I watched a bunch of stuff on it. I've been reading about it for months. But then I just like how it just fits into the overall sort of like it could be a part of a grand plan. Because there's also a lot of people, again, on InfoWars, talked a lot about this. It was really interesting. That, you know, the World Bank, they're saying the IMF came out and said that we're not going to give certain countries loans who don't figure out how to lower their population by a certain year. And that is also a gigantic NWO like agenda point where it's like you have to lessen the population of the earth because then it's easier to control. And then part of that is that another thing you can do is you can get people used to a certain level of horrible living by suppressing their thoughts using low frequency energy waves.
I mean, it's a great point. You can't really argue with it.
I mean, you can.
You can. Yeah, of course. Of course.
You and just
and I was gonna. But I don't think
when it comes down to it, like, what do you say? Well, because the only argument you have to do is, no, that's not true. And you're like, you're right.
It's probably not true. But you could argue a smaller population is going to be easier to control, and a suppressed people are going to be much, much easier to control. So if they have this technology, and if you're in power, there is no reason for you not to use it. The pros outweigh the cons.
If you
and that's
really,
what they love to be.
You
that's
love being president. Right. Being president makes your dick so hard.
Super
it makes
hard.
Your balls hard.
Oh, yeah.
You know? You want to be president.
That's actually cancer. That's testicular cancer. Yes, so if you're a president and you have really hard balls right now, get it checked out.
Barack Obama, I hope your balls are soft.
They're fine. Oh, I'm sure they're wonderful.
I love him, though. At the same time, I really just don't trust him. I like him.
Yeah?
He's fine.
I mean, I still, he's a diseased individual whose own ego makes him a monster.
Sure.
But that's also us.
Exactly.
So I'm fine with
David.
I like you, yeah.
Yeah, we were talking about David Icke. He proclaimed to be the son of Jesus. And
he has a lot of stuff going on.
He goes and he's like, these people just want power. It's like, well, you claim to be the Christ child.
I just think he had a lot of, I think he really got into a bunch of Halloween candy, and he was all jacked up by the sugar. And then he was like, wow, well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Time for David to go to bed.
I will say.
He puts on his sleeping cap. It's got reptiles all over it. And he goes to sleep in a race car bed.
He's got one of those carousels over, just little reptiles.
Ding, 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 ding.
We love you, David. That's the whole thing. He's just lost an iguana when he was a child, and he's been, ever since then, he's been crazy about it.
It's very sad. Do you know, because the YouTube clip that I saw when it came down to Hurricane Sandy, they said that they were doing these things called chemical dumps, which were shifting the hurricane. And then the lady also mentioned infrasonic undulation, which I just love that word. Infrasonic
that's
undulation.
HARP.
And that is HARP.
That's
doing
HARP.
That.
That's what they're talking about.
Oh, very interesting.
And that's where that would be HARP manipulated the atmosphere in order to allow gusts to, like, shift again. Basically, they moved the nor'easter
in,
and they moved the hurricane in, and they moved that cold front in that made it so gigantic. Would shut down our financial system, and you know that those crooked motherfuckers down there are burning boxes of files in the dark every night because that's
Jesus,
what they
man.
Do.
I don't have your fucking money, dude.
Listen, bro.
Henry,
there's not just
Marcus,
one fucking Madoff.
You put down my drumstick.
Jesus Christ.
You're waving that thing around like you're the fucking Wizard of Oz.
And who's to say I'm not?
I
pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
It's just a fat man in a reptilian shirt. I'm wearing my reptilian shirt.
I love your reptilian shirt. But no, I mean, of course, we can change subjects to something slightly more historical, but the real issue here is climate change, and that's what we need to address. The oceans are rising. We should probably do something about
that. Yeah, well, I've got something to refute that.
We literally must do that.
Yeah, we have to. This is getting very serious.
It's really bad. New York was almost destroyed.
Right.
Yeah.
New York is so much more important than most of the rest of the world.
It is the only important place in America.
Don't let New York get destroyed. Yeah. Washington was close, and that would have been fucking cool.
Yeah.
Because then we would have actually seen the shadow government.
Yes, yes.
But there is.
But that's why it
crawling out
Washington,
of their hidey
set it up.
But a big section of HARP is funded by black ops, and that is true. And that is black operations and the black budget. It's all stuff that Congress is even allowed to read about. It's super top secret, and there is a part of it. And HARP is a big thing. The Defense Department runs like a quarter of HARP, so it's like HARP has got like all the scientists like doing legitimate sort of like environmental science that other people have misgivings about because they're afraid what it will do to the ionosphere. They're afraid that like big spikes in energy is that they'll literally poke a hole in the ionosphere and then fuck everything up for us. But then the government also is partially researching how you can pinpoint making holes in the ozone using HARP-like material, which over is our, used like,
to,
enemy
to
countries.
Release greenhouse gases and stuff, yes, as well. They're trying to use it to alleviate some of those. And also,
No. They try to use it to let in harmful sun rays onto countries that we hate,
like a magnifying glass, yes, sort of a larger, yeah, magnifying glass.
And they get cancer.
And they get cancer.
It's a long game.
It is a long game. They would probably just die of cancer anyway, yeah, or a random shelling, so, or a suicide bomber.
There's a bunch of it that's like there's a bunch of it that we'll never understand, and then there's a bunch of stuff that's like really interesting that they're making. The other thing is also how to create nuclear-type blasts using, mm-hmm, not radioactive material, mm-hmm, using energy from the sun. And that's another thing, like harnessing, like making a mini hole immediately in the atmosphere and then creating a gigantic explosion using pure sun rays.
I think that's and really,
that's insane.
It's brilliant. And basically, it just also comes down to the fact that HARP is just a wonderful acronym for a villainous super demon
group that
wants to take over the world.
If I was in charge of HARP, I would like shave my head. I'd wear a gold like zip up suit with like you know a turtleneck on it and like with a lizard on my shoulder, just being like, everything is fine.
Yeah, with a picture of your yourself that just says,
yes, welcome to HARP. Where do the most wonderful things are.
You turn around, it's just a large photo of yourself.
Do not enter the basement. There's nothing for you in the basement. See my shiny globules. Ew, he's got the funniest lava lamps in here.
Is that a fucking Puma jumpsuit? I'm going to buy it. I love this place. The gift shop is amazing. That was the only place we were allowed to go to, but it was amazing. I got a snow globe.
And
got a real snow in there.
Look, it's got a Mac store, and it's got a Gucci store where they sell little dogs. Mm-hmm. It's Gucci and dogs.
Gucci and dogs are my favorite two things.
Yes, welcome to Barb. I hope you enjoy your shopping day.
Gucci and Dogs is probably the greatest store of all time that needs to open up immediately. That is a recession-proof store. Honey, I want to go to Gucci and Dogs. I just got you a fucking Gucci and I just got you a fucking dog.
Shut up! Shut up, Lindsay! I can't be going out buying you fucking dogs and fucking pigs all the live long fucking day.
This dog's shed. It's got poop all over its butt. I want a new dog! Marcus, do you have actual stories about real storms that existed?
I guess. As soon as I calm down from Gucci and Dogs.
Gucci and Dogs. We've got dogs. And Gucci.
But we're talking about superstorms here.
Mm-hmm.
I've got this book.
Storms.
Is that an eye patch?
The deadliest storm in history. Galveston, Texas. 1900.
Nice. Now, this is... Marcus is bringing his power of storytelling into last podcast.
That's right.
So envision the smell of the briny ocean. Imagine the winds blowing through your air.
Yes.
And enjoy the story of the superstorm.
And Henry.
Of Galveston.
Because it is Galveston. Put some fart noises in every now and again. There it is.
So all of this is from a book called Isaac Storm. It was written by Eric Larson, the same guy who
wrote... Is that a Jew thing?
Huh?
It's not a Jew thing, Henry. Why with you and the Zionist agenda? Leave him alone. Jesus.
My girlfriend said the same thing.
Because it's Isaac Storm. It's like Isaac Storm. Oh,
It is.
Yeah.
It sounds like a Nordic and Jewish last name.
Yeah, it does. Well, his last name is Klein.
Oh, it is a Jewish thing.
How does that make you feel, Henry?
Pretty satisfied.
Good.
Good. This book was written by the same guy who wrote Devil in the White City, which
good
fucking
one.
Fantastic. It is, the reason why it's called Isaac Storm, it's the central character is a man named Isaac Klein, who was the chief weather bureau officer in Galveston, Texas at the time.
Was he Jewish? I just have to know now.
No. He wasn't Jewish.
So we'll just get off of it.
Yeah,
okay, good.
He wasn't Jewish. Okay.
All right.
So we're going to start in January of 1900, in which this storm took place in September. In January of 1900, a self-styled weather prophet, Professor Andrew Jackson DeVoe of Chattanooga, Tennessee, issued a long-range forecast.
What happened, Marcus?
Keep going.
You're pull it through.
Okay. Issued a long-range forecast.
What happens? He loves this story.
I mean, he must. It's a long... He issued a long-winded
welcome
forecast.
Welcome to Harb.
Now, I'm looking for Gucci's and dogs. You gotta got a Gucci and dogs and Harb.
You pushed my tickle button earlier. I can't turn it off.
Unpush it.
He issued a
long-winded message. Okay, we've gotten this far. Okay. Well, you're going to be a great father. Your kid's not going to fall asleep until 4 in the morning.
He issued a long-range forecast for the year in his lady's birthday.
He issued a long-winded forecast in his lady's birthday almanac, which is an amazing almanac to have. All right. And what did the forecast say, Marcus?
He predicted that September would be hot and dry throughout the northern states. On the 9th, he wrote, a great cyclone will form over the Gulf of Mexico and move up the Atlantic coast, causing very heavy rains from Florida to Maine from 10th to 12th.
Now, this
and
is about
happy
the same
birthday,
time.
Vivian.
Now, this is also, this is around the time when they thought cigarettes were good for your teeth.
Right.
And that top hats would keep you from being picked right. up by hawks.
Mm. Yeah.
And tobacco was the cure after you got raped.
Yes, yeah. Yes, yes.
And this is they were starting to figure out meteorology at the time, specifically hurricane sciences. The Cubans were at the forefront of it.
Yeah, because they had the sandwiches and the cigars.
It's because they got hit with
we need more pickles. We need more time. Swiss cheese.
Yeah. Why do they have New York accents?
Oh, no, that was a Texas accent.
Like, hey, muy bien.
Is that Cuban?
I don't know.
However, they were quite wrong, and they said, the coast of Texas is, according to the general laws of the motion of the atmosphere, exempt from West India hurricanes, and the two which have reached it followed an abnormal path, which can only be attributed to causes known in meteorology as accidental.
Goblins in balloons.
Yes. Two things I love the most.
And so, of course, the Cubans, the storm was running through Cuba on its way to Galveston, Texas, which, by the way, Galveston is an island that is 30 miles off the coast of Texas near Houston.
Yeah.
Horrible place to put
you know,
city.
A bunch of Cubans try to hang on to the trees that were flying through the air in order to get over to America.
Yeah. That's how they did it.
And, Elon Gonzalez.
Yeah, good. I'm happy that's our go-to Cuban.
And at the time, Galveston, Texas was known as the New York of Texas.
Wow.
I'm serious.
The Minnesota of Texas.
Because it was a very much a metropolitan area. There were brothels
because
everywhere.
Of their
we
lively
got shoes.
There were restaurants with French chefs everywhere.
That's where Gucci and Dog started. Mm-hmm. It was just a horse named Gucci and a couple of dogs.
Well, it was a very rich area. It was very cosmopolitan. However,
I mean, it wasn't. Can we just all admit that it wasn't?
However, did you read the book?
They had one
did
toilet.
Did you read the book?
No.
So, the Cubans, this storm is coming through. It was a cyclone when it was on its way to Cuba. And at the time, Cuba and the United States were in a bit of a tiff over telegraph wires. And
United
so,
States sounds like a great meat shop.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, I want to go there. I'm hungry.
What are you going to get?
And
steaks.
Yeah.
And so when the Cubans wired us and said, hey, there's a big fucking storm coming, America went.
They farted all over the idea.
Fuck you. However.
Stick to your sandwiches and your cigars at Cuba. And by the way, send some of those sandwiches and cigars over.
So the storm starts to hit Galveston, slowly but surely. Children found the storm nothing but delightful.
Oh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes when I imagine a big storm, I imagine a big woman's butt.
Really?
Slowly rolling over onto the city. Is that weird?
Yeah. No, okay. No, that's totally normal. That's you would
kinda,
be a great weatherman.
I think so.
Yeah, that's kind of true.
Yeah, I always just imagine like two big butt cheeks. Just coming on down.
And the
just slowly laying on down.
You're just sticking your tongue out. You want to get a sweet drop.
Oh, yeah. I want to catch a snowflake.
Yeah.
Catch a snowflake out of one of them butts. Which is just a little bit of poop.
Well, they have been Hurricane Irene and now Hurricane Sandy, so they are feminine. That's
right. They are.
Interesting.
So, the day goes on. The storm grows stronger. Winds are up to 50 miles an hour. Flooding is coming from the seas. It is said a man told a tale in which he came home, and when he arrived at home, he was surprised there wasn't any dinner.
I think that's just a wonderful story. That's a great Texas story. Marcus, are you Texas tired right now? Which I was talking to Marcus yesterday. He was very drunk the other day, and I said, you weren't drunk. You were just Texas tired.
Yeah, that's my new thing. I'm Texas tired. I'm not Texas tired, no. And now the storm gets serious.
Uh-oh.
This is at a time, remember, in the 1900s, late 1800s, early 1900s, when man was at its most arrogant
Oh, dear Lord, nothing can take us down. We're in a building made of wood.
Well, I have constructed a house told to me by God.
And here's...
There's no way a wind will come. Winds are for birds. Only a cat would be afraid of a wind.
Wow, we're not cats.
Hey, Spencer! Mr. Lord shouted from across the room.
His name is Mr. Lord?
Mr. Lord. I've just counted and there are 13 men in this room.
Spencer laughed. Other diners joined in, glad for the relief the laughter provided.
You can't frighten me, Spencer shouted. I'm not superstitious.
Spencer and Lord died instantly.
Yeah!
When a powerful gust of wind tore off the building's roof and heavy printing press material from upstairs smashed them all.
Three others
died with them. Five other men were badly hurt. One man dispatched a waiter to find a doctor. The waiter drowned.
I love the idea of a waiter drowning.
That's my big thing is that in terms of social hierarchy,
mm-hmm.
waiters first to go.
You think so?
Yeah. Waiters got to go, and then homeless people.
So waiters, homeless. Where does a bartender fall into that? I feel like
the
bartender lives,
waiters,
right?
Homeless, the mayor.
Okay.
Right?
Sure.
Then doctors.
Sure.
Police officers.
Nurses.
Bodega
live?
Men.
Oh, come on.
That's seventh on the list.
That's
seventh on the list. Dogs.
Oh, come on.
Then comedians.
Well, that's about right.
All right.
I would just completely flip that on its head.
And now it gets creepy.
Comedians need to die first. Nothing's funnier than a comedian dying.
Someone's got to tell the story.
Yeah, terribly. And as if they were important in it.
By the time Isaac got home, the water in his yard was waist deep. And wherever an object protruded from the water, there were toads. Tiny ones. Dozens. Every little board, every little splinter, had about 20 or 50 toad frogs on it. Excuse me, I have to start that over.
Every little board, every little splinter, had about 20 or 50 toad frogs on it,
wow.
One witness remembered. I never seen so many toad frogs in all the days of my life.
Wow, what a day. What an exciting day for you.
Oh, my God, that's a 20 toad frog day.
I counted up to a number I don't even know how to count to, so I just started over again.
It's got to be something bigger than 20, which may as well be a goddamn million.
God, if I know, I did 23 times I counted it.
Yeah. And this is when things start to get serious.
Oh, wow.
I thought things just got serious.
No, that when the person died creepy. With the printing press and the waitress or waiter drone.
No, this one things get really serious because those are all assholes.
Okay.
I'll bring you to your desserts.
Oh, no. Here comes the floodwaters.
The only gay in Galveston. I love this. Love this job.
He was a goddamn good waiter, but I swear there's something queer about that waiter.
Yes. Very smart young boy.
I love
now, this
boots.
This story is a house with 17 people in it, families and whatnot. The water rose high onto the second floor. Gusts of wind moving at speeds possibly as great as 150 miles an hour penetrated deep into the house. Mm-hmm. Palmer held tight to his son and braced his back against the bathroom door.
And then he was buried deep inside his son.
Interesting. Nothing to do with the storm.
His wife, May, hugged his neck with all her strength. Beams fractured. Glass broke. Lumber ricocheted among the walls of the hallway outside the bath. The front half of the house tore loose. The Bokers stood in the bedroom holding each other close as the wind peeled the house away. The bedroom disintegrated. The water rose. The Palmers climbed onto the lip of the bathtub. Judson clapped his left hand to the shower rod and held Lee circled in his right arm.
Is this Penthouse 4?
Yeah, I'm getting
what is
hard.
Happening? Yeah, if the house is replaced with a woman's clothes, I'm like, this is going to be hot.
Yeah, every time you peel off a layer of the house to reveal its bolsterous hot nipples.
Surprisingly sensitive in the storm season.
The house trembled.
Oh, God. God, I'm getting uncomfortable.
Obviously masturbating while writing this.
And eased off its elevated foundation. It settled in deeper water. The water was up to Palmer's neck. The roof stood up and fell upon the family. They went under the water together.
Yeah.
Palmer came up alone.
Dripping with cum.
AdamandEve.com.
Yeah, Adam and Eve.
And that story made you horny. Go get yourself a French tickler from AdamandEve.com.
And now, a story from
another
the
I make
children.
All my six toes.
Ooh, I'm sorry, what's that, Henry?
I just make all my sex toys out of old pumpkins. So this is my favorite time of year, yeah. So I'm going to go ahead on adamneve.com and use that coupon, and I'm going to get a
CCR at checkout.
What's your favorite sex toy to make out of a pumpkin?
God, fucking fake pussy. You just carve a hole in a pumpkin.
Seems easy, yeah. Yeah, not the most creative.
But a very, very easy one.
And the best use of a pumpkin, I suppose, if you want to fuck it.
I'm not good at arts and crafts.
Sure, sure. Anyway.
So this is...
So children are involved here.
And as the night goes on, we check in with the orphanage.
Ooh. Mm.
The 10 sisters who ran the place herded all 93 children into the chapel. Sister M. Camillus Tracy, 31 years old, the mother superior, ordered the other children to tie links of clothesline to the youngest children, then tie one in around their waists. They formed chains of 6 to 8 children each, roped together like miniature climbing parties. A few older children, among them Will Murney, Albert Campbell, and Francis Bolnovic, remained free. Sister Camillus led the children in hymns.
Because they were fat and pimply, and everyone hated them.
Sister Camillus...
No one wanted to be tied to them.
Well, the storm won't take those ones. They're chubby as fuck.
She led the children in hymns, including the children's favorite, Queen of the Waves.
How does that go?
Queen of the waves, all waves, all the queen...
That's nice. I like that song.
I seem to know that like theme. I didn't know that was the original theme of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where the jingle comes from.
Yeah, it's
interesting. So these kids are all tied up like they're piggies getting led through a farm.
The water rose. The children felt the concussion of each breaker as it struck the front of the building. The sisters drew the children to the girls' dormitory at the back of the building, away from the beach. They heard the crash of wood and brick behind them as the boys' dormitory fell into the gulf. The storm advanced through the building quickly and systematically, as if hunting the children. The chapel disappeared. Windows shattered. Hallways rose and fell like drawbridges. The children sang. The sea and wind burst into the dormitory.
Whoa.
In seconds, the building failed. 90 children and all 10 sisters died. Only Will, Albert, and Francis survived, all by catching hold of the same floating tree. Later, a rescuer found...
And that tree was the giving tree.
Interesting, yes.
Later...
I think it's alive! Oh, no, I think this yonder tree we've been using as a boat is fucking alive!
Just use it until we kill it.
Later, a rescuer found one toddler's corpse on the beach. He tried lifting the child. A length of clothesline leaped from the sand, then tightened. He pulled the line. Another child emerged. The line continued into the sand. He uncovered 8 children and a nun. Sister Camillus...
Yeah, that's called the devil's anal beads.
I know, I was just going to say, you can also get a very similar butt plug at adamandeve.com. The devil's anal beads, just 8 kids tied to a fucking sheet.
In the very end
buried
of the nun,
in the sand. With the nun at the end. Well, you don't want it to go too deep into the devil's asshole. It could cause a real rupture in the old body there. Oh, well, good for him. God. What a find. What a find.
And so, the storm over with. The first telegram comes.
Very accurate.
First news from Galveston just received by train, which could get no closer to the bayshore than 6 miles, where prairie was strewn with debris and dead bodies. About 200 corpses counted from train. Large steamship stranded 2 miles inland. Nothing could be seen of Galveston. Loss of life and property undoubtedly most appalling. Weather clear and bright here with gentle southeast wind.
And on the bright side, we're getting a Gucci and dogs. So that's exciting. Wow, that's very nice.
And here's what an old soldier, General McKibben, said.
I'm still afraid of clouds.
Good.
Ever since I see a cloud, I threw my glove at it. I'm like, damn you, cloud, you ain't kicking me. I'm the last man from Galveston.
The cloud just wanted to make him happy. It's very sad.
What are his real last words?
I'm an old soldier, General McKibben said later. I've seen many battlefields, but let me tell you that since I rode across the bay the other night, and helped the man of the boat to steer to keep clear of the floating bodies of dead women and little children, I have not slept one single moment.
Signed, General McKibben, 17 years old.
I've been watching a lot of Ken Burns lately.
I like it.
They stopped a man hurrying by who told them thousands of people have been killed.
So I gotta go. I have an audition for a Broadway show.
Is that the gay waiter that we thought drowned?
I never die.
I wonder whatever happened to that guy.
He went on to be the biggest Broadway star in the world.
The real Dame Judi Dench.
So many dead bodies were around that disposal crews known as dead gangs had begun burning bodies where they found them.
Cool.
I want to be in a dead gang.
Yeah.
Throughout Saturday night, survivors turned gratefully toward a particularly solicitous and tall nun, only to find themselves staring into the stubbled face of a man in a nun's habit.
This is amazing! Men dressing like nuns now? This storm really fucks some shit up here in Texas.
Well, again, it's just the waiter. Like, well,
finally.
Aren't I beautiful?
Earl? Is that you? Gay waiter Earl?
I'm sorry, but, you know, I had a dream.
The dead gangs worked 30-minute shifts, and in between were allowed all the whiskey they needed to keep going.
Not the longest shifts I've ever heard.
Yeah, the
30-minute shifts.
The stench from dead
people. It took me an hour to walk here from Brooklyn.
The stench from dead people and animals was so great that they couldn't work longer, one witness said. They worked in long sleeves and jackets and mohair pants.
That's horrible.
But did not let their discomfort show. They left their noses exposed. Burning did not seem much of an improvement over the parade of corpse-filled wagons. The idea of burning the bodies of men, women, and children...
I love a parade.
Especially children, was jarring. It seemed like sacrilege. Cremation
was... Why did they burn them?
Cremation was a routine mortuarial service, was itself a brand new idea in America. In Galveston, the fires were everywhere. Emma Beale was 10 at the time of the storm, but watched a dead gang burn bodies at 37th and Avenue P, right near her house. As one body entered the fire, an arm shot up as if pointing into the sky. Emma screamed, but kept watching, and paid for it with nightmares that left her writhing in the dark.
You see, what you gotta do with you have a lot of bodies is you put them in a big dumpster, and then you tie balloons to them, and then you hopefully you get a good western wind so that they land in Mexico.
Yeah, it's like that movie
it's
Up.
Very close to Mexico. Sad.
Like the movie Up, yeah.
Yeah.
But filled with dead bodies. Imagine that house was just chock full of dead, like women and children.
There needs to be
the men seem to be fine. A lot of alive men in that story.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's like they climbed upon the bodies of the women and the
it's
children.
Possible. I would love if they did a movie version of Up with H.H. Holmes's house. That would be remarkable. The floating crematorium in the sky.
Every place it lands is like the world's most unlucky place.
And that's where they all died.
Black men were said to have begun looting bodies.
I think they're bringing racism into this.
Well, just let me finish, goddammit.
All right.
Chewing off fingers to gain access to diamond rings.
Well, no, I know they are.
Then stuffing the fingers in their pockets. The nation's press took these stories as truth, then pumped them full of even more lurid details. On Thursday, September 13th, the Mobile, Alabama Daily Register, naturally, told its readers that 50 Negroes had been shot to death in Galveston. The ghouls, the newspaper reported, were holding an orgy over the dead.
I think they were burning the dead, right?
Yeah, none of that was happening, yeah.
That's very, very fun, but we did the Miami zombies.
I just know that so many people, it would take a lot to chew the finger off of a hand.
Yeah. It seemed like they kept the finger and not like the ring.
Yeah,
it's kind of bizarre.
Yeah.
But interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, any excuse.
And in this storm, 8,000 souls perished, and half of the city of Galveston was destroyed. It was safe until the 1990s when another one came and destroyed it again.
Yeah, when Harp killed it for the second time.
Yeah.
Galveston keeps on coming back.
I know when I write the story of this hurricane, I'll remember all the faces that I saw and lost. I knew that we stood strong and proud. When the waves came and the winds came, I sat in the dark and I played Bioshock, watching the rain pitta-patta, pitta-patta, pitta-patta on my windowsill. I'll never forget that night. I ate two legs of chicken and a chicken I made. Drank a couple bottles of whiskey. Ah, it was hard. Hurricane Sandy will always lie in our memories as a sort of mediocre set of days we all got. Pretty drunk.
Oh, God, it is good to live in the future.
Thank God we don't live back then anymore. Oh,
Jesus Christ. Well, you should read the rest of the... I mean, that was...
So that's
just
Isaac
a few,
Storm.
Zion Storm. Just pick it up at...
It's a really... It's a great book. It's about, like, Isaac Klein and his brother Joseph, who were competing meteorologists in the same town. And how their fuck-ups tended to kill quite a few people.
I threw my shit up in the air the other day. It went straight up down. That means we got a storm coming. What'd you do?
So just be careful. I think this is important. Like, if you live in a coastline, move away from there. You're going to die there.
That is true. I don't know why, you know, so many people chose to stay in their homes. There's some people in the Jersey Shore that did. Get the fuck out of there when the government is making
you
a storm.
Because they don't want you to move. No one wants you to evacuate because all you do is inconvenience the rest of the city. Right. If they tell you that you have to evacuate, it means you will probably die if you don't.
The government made the storm. The government's telling you to get out of there. Get on out of there.
Because Rockaway now, that's one of the coolest stories that came out of it. Down, like, one of these places, it was devastated. I remember growing up on Rockaway Beach. It's where that was our beach we used to go to. The whole boardwalk is gone.
That must have been a real sweet sight when your family went swimming.
Should have seen
me
the time that I did not put sunscreen on and got second and third degree burns all over my back.
Like John Candy in Summer Rental.
Yes, it was pretty horrible. But that whole area is gone, and now it's being protected by, like, roving teams of vigilantes that, like, if you see that picture on the post of the guy with the bow and arrow? Like, these people are protecting themselves from looting with guns and knives and bows and arrows. This guy is perched up on a power tower, like, trying to fend off people using a bow and arrow.
Cool.
It's happening. It is getting real out there.
Nice.
The apocalypse is coming. It's being done by our government. It's done by the reptile Barack Obama.
Yeah.
And everyone just needs to get a helmet. Buy a helmet.
Well, I disagree. I think he's just a reptilian puppet, but that's fine. You know, we don't agree on everything.
And I know this is a much bigger can of worms, but, you know, the world is ending in like a month and 2 weeks.
I'm going to try ecstasy, I think.
Well, your world will end anyway. All right. Well, this has been great. Thanks, Marcus.
Thank you.
Great story.
Thank you.
You're
really
a
good
man.
Storytelling.
Thank you.
You have a sexy, sultry voice.
Thank you.
I've been told that my voice sounds educated but annoying.
Speaking of sexy,
I won scholarships for it in high school.
Oh, I was an actor.
Yeah.
And a waiter.
It was not acting. It was called oral interpretation.
Hey, I bet you're
good.
Oh,
my
at
God.
That.
How many dicks did you suck with that?
none, but I did get $6,000.
Not bad.
What?
Yeah.
Not bad.
$6,000?
Yeah.
That's a hell of a lot of Twinkies. That's coming from this guy. That's how I judge my money.
It's a hell of a lot of Twinkies or butt plugs from AdamandEve.com.
AdamandEve.com. Code CCR.
CCR. Code CCR.
That's great.
Lube, lube, lube. Everyone needs lube.
Absolutely. Yeah, get lube. Get some bra things. I don't know what you buy.
I don't know what
I'm not an erotic
get
person.
Some teeth.
No.
Get
some sex teeth.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah, that sounds saucy.
Get one of those zip-up leather masks and like a weird, like, fucking horse costume you could put all over your balls.
Ooh. All right, well, we know what Henry's getting, so that's enough. All right, we're ending this off. Marcus Parks, Ben Kissel, thank you, Henry.
Henry, put on a tinfoil hat and be careful of low emission energy waves.
Absolutely.
Because they're trying to depress you.
And if you're feeling sad, it's not because your fucking girlfriend or boyfriend left you. The government is fucking with you.
The government is fucking with you.
Remember that.
Heil me!
Heil Gein! Magustalations.